Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Take 6 Podcast, Raptors Edition. This is our fifth episode of the show. Today, we have a very special guest joining to talk this week's Raptors news. Is Kawhi sitting a good thing? Is Nick Nurse coaching well? How did the Raptors handle James Harden? And is Lowry or Siakam an all-star reserve? I hope you guys enjoy, but before, just want to remind you to go subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts and or Spotify. Go check out our website at take6.org and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at take6 for some good social media content. I thank you in advance.
Welcome to the Take 6 Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Today we have an extremely special guest on the episode. We've got Adam Corsair from the South of the Six podcast. It's fantastic to have you on, Adam. How's it going, man?
Oh, man. Extremely special guest. I love it. I'm doing well, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. A lot of snow came down in Toronto this weekend, so it's actually starting to feel a little bit like winter. I have mixed feelings about it. I wish it came a whole month earlier for Christmas, but...
Yeah, I feel you. Like, usually snow after December 26th to me is pretty pointless. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. But down here in Rhode Island, it's just ice. That's all we're getting is just ice. Like, the other day, I think it was Monday, there was a complete sheet of ice over my car. And typically, I like to start my car like a half hour, or sorry, like 15 minutes before I go to work. And that day, I started it like a half hour before. And still, the ice wouldn't melt. It just wouldn't melt. So it's been crazy here as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we can, you know, at least bask in the snow together here.
Yeah.
So start off, we got a little bit of breaking news here. Kawhi Leonard bought a home in San Diego. Toronto Raptors fans are taking this to a level that I didn't expect. They are somewhat upset. Some are more rational, which I like. What do you make of this, Adam?
I don't make anything out of it, honestly. Like, all right, so I understand, like, with the way the signing went down and the rumors of will he stay, will he go, Toronto Raptors fans are going to keep an open eye and an open ear regarding anything Kawhi Leonard. So I get the hypersensitivity about it, but you got to understand, man, like, athletes buy properties all over the place. Like, this isn't exclusive or dissimilar to just Kawhi and other NBA players. Like, this, players buy homes where they're from. Like, DeMar had a home in LA and no one cares. Like, I'm sure Kyle Lowry has a home in Philadelphia. No one cares. So if he wants to purchase a home in San Diego, I think it's Rancho Santa Fe or something like that. I don't know. If he wants to buy a home there, all power to him. I don't think this is a sign of him wanting to sign with LA at all. So if Raptors fans are nervous, just pump the brakes. Everything's fine.
Yeah, I totally agree. It doesn't make sense. These guys have millions and millions and millions of dollars. They can do whatever they want with their money. And having a home somewhere warm to go when you live in Toronto, and hopefully he lives in Toronto for a lot longer than just 1 year, it makes sense. If I had that much money, I'd probably buy a home in San Diego as well. Doesn't mean I'm going to play for the LA Clippers, but I mean, I don't get why people are getting all upset about that.
Well, if you look on the flip side, if he bought a house in Toronto, people would flip out. Like, people
He did buy a house in Toronto, at the beginning of the season.
Okay,
so,
there you go.
Yeah, so he bought, I want to say it was like 13 point something million dollar home in Toronto. That might be a bit much, but no, like, people gave it attention for 2 or 3 days, and then this comes up and people are still angry about it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if it's telling that he buys a house in San Diego that he's going to play for the Clippers, well, he bought a house in Toronto first, so exactly. We win there, Clippers.
There you go.
So the other Kawhi Leonard news that has gone on this past week was his quote-unquote load management. So he sat 4 games in a row, which makes it 14 in total on the season, which has pretty much only been load management. I guess he did have that little injury hiccup in that Suns game. But do you think this is the right play from the Raptors and the organization?
I don't see it as being a huge issue regarding how they're treating him, right? So there's two different ways to look at this. You look at it in such a way that how are the Raptors treating Kawhi and in order to sort of entice him to re-sign with the team? And then you got to look at it, how is this a detriment to the team's chemistry, right? So on the first hand, I like it. I like how the Raptors are sort of taking a backseat to the regular season and saying all that matters is how we perform in the playoffs and the health of by far the best player on the floor in the playoff. That's a top priority. And I get it because, you know, we as Raptors fans should know it's great to finish first in the East in the regular season. That's great. But all that matters is playoff performances. That's it. Like it shouldn't matter a lot to people if Kawhi is going to play or if he's not going to play. Yeah, there are some games that, you know, you would like him to play and they would probably flip the narrative for the Raptors in terms of win losses. But at the end of the season, it's really not going to be that much of a big deal. However, it is sort of to the detriment to the team because there's this lack of chemistry between him and Kyle Lowry that's sort of being amplified now. And you really need to clean that up. And I don't know if a matter of practice is going to be able to fix that or mitigate that. Certainly, more time together on the floor in actual in-game situations would clean that up. So it's sort of a catch-22 and a balancing act. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Raptors sort of maneuver this moving forward.
Yeah, you basically took the words out of my mouth there. The only, like, I don't get why people are upset about it because A, his injury from last year was basically an injury from overworking himself, right? Like the whole thigh, whatever the name of the injury was basically an injury from overwork. And right. If you don't want that to happen again, you don't overwork him and you keep him on the sideline when he needs to be on the sideline, especially when the team is doing so well. Like this should be a different story if the Raptors were in fourth right now, or if they were in the Celtics position right now, not playing up to what we expected, but that's just simply not the case. And B, this is kind of how they played Lowry last year. Like obviously Lowry didn't miss as many games, but in terms of minute management, they're basically taking the same approach and nobody really batted an eye at Lowry. And I understand Lowry isn't the same Kawhi and the chemistry wasn't as much of an issue because the continuity of that team was so good. But like you said, the playoffs are the only things that matter for this team at least. And as long as they have a home matchup against Boston, I think wherever they place isn't really that big of a deal.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if they fall out of, say, the third seed, then I'm sort of concerned, like, because then that speaks to a louder issue. Just outside of injuries or load management, like there's something seriously wrong if they finished outside of the third seed. But within the first three seeds, it's whatever to me. I honestly don't care. I don't care where they finish, and I don't care what the record states. Like, you know, like 59, 60 wins. That was fun last year. It was really great. But, you know, what is it? It's kind of a what have you done for me lately kind of thing. Like we as Raptors fans should know, like the number at the end of the regular season doesn't matter. What matters is playoff performance. And you touched on Lowry there. Yeah, they did sort of use this load management tool with Lowry last year. And it's funny you say that because ironically enough, he's sort of the one that I would like for the team to use that with this year because he's clearly not right. I know we're going to like sort of touch on Lowry a little bit later, but he's clearly not right now. So if anybody would benefit from load management, I think it'd be Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't, honestly, it wouldn't hurt if Lowry sat as well as Kawhi for a couple games, because then you can give Van Fleet, DeLon, even McCaw some reps out there with OG, Siakam, and Powell, and maybe even CJ Miles if he starts playing well. And I think to get those guys going, that might even be a help if they get a couple games in there where they get some regular minutes and a lot of opportunity. The only thing that I kind of don't like about it, and this is just like a totally personal thing, mm-hmm. is that Kawhi Leonard, his MVP possibilities have pretty much gone down the drain because of all the games missed. And I would have really, really loved to see Kawhi Leonard, or at least a Toronto Raptor, kind of be in that MVP conversation. I know DeRozan was, you know, always at the beginning of the season. It's like, oh my God, this might be DeRozan's almost MVP dark horse season.
Right, right.
But this year with Kawhi's stats and just the way that he's been playing, and he's put up a lot of highlight reel plays, so people are talking about him. He kind of had a bit of a shot at it for a little bit there, and then he started missing all these games. So that's kind of the only gripe that I have with this whole sitting thing.
I could see that, and I get on a personal level, it's fun for Raptors fans to have that in their arsenal, like especially for something to look back on if he doesn't resign, right? That's something that we can always attribute the 2018-19 season and remind ourselves, hey, that was such a great year, that was such a great season to have. But I don't know, it makes me wonder that even if he wasn't a victim of load management, would he be able to like surpass a guy like Harden right now in the MVP talk? Because Harden's playing out of his mind. So it wouldn't surprise me if, even if he did have these games under his belt, it's really hard to sort of make someone look away from Harden and focus on Kawhi in the MVP discussion.
Yeah, I totally agree. Just having him in the conversation, I mean, right, at the beginning of the season was a whole lot of fun for at least me. So you mentioned Harden. The Raptors played Harden this week, and Harden's been on a absolutely absurd streak. And I was excited about this game because I really wanted to see how the Raptors' length and defense were going to match up against Harden and the rest of the Rockets. And I was kind of surprised with how they played him. I thought they were going to take the more, you know, how they would, or how I would play LeBron, is just kind of let him do all the work and then cover the other guys so they can't score. And they kind of did the opposite. They kind of shut down Harden. It's hard to say shut down when he has 35 points and 7 assists, but he was very inefficient as usual. Do you think they chose the right manner of defense against James Harden?
Well, on paper, I would have assumed that Kawhi would have been the guy to primarily guard Harden. And when I saw that Danny Green was going to be that guy, I didn't lack confidence, but I guess from a personal level, I was like, oh, I was kind of looking forward to seeing that. But you got to give credit to Danny Green. Danny Green did such a good job of, like, quote unquote, locking down Harden. Remember, this is a guy that had a legitimate over under of points, a point total for that night of, I think it was 42.5. And the Raptors, Danny Green, to his credit, was able to solidify the under on that. So yes, 35 points, that's a good performance by in anyone's standards, but to limit James Harden to 35 points given his streak as of late, I don't know, I was sort of satisfied with that despite the loss that the Raptors had. So I guess given that, Danny Green was a good choice to guard Harden, but on paper I don't think I would have ever had assumed that prior to the game.
Yeah, I was also really surprised when I saw Danny Green covering Harden for most of the game. But like you said, he did a fantastic job. And my biggest thing about his game defensively against James Harden was because James Harden's so good at drawing fouls. And Danny Green didn't give Harden that many fouls. He was going straight up almost every single time. Same with Pascal Siakam in the paint there, which was very impressive to me. He didn't get as many three-point foul calls as he usually does. Mind you, he did shoot 15 free throws, but I think that as the streak has gone on, you kind of expect every shot that James Harden takes and misses to have a foul call on it. And I was pleasantly surprised that Danny Green wasn't giving all these fouls up to Harden. One thing that I like I said before, that I wanted them to do is kind of like let Harden do his thing. And I looked at that based on the fact that they almost lost to the New York Knicks when Harden put up 61 and took 40 shots. Mm-hmm. He only took 25 shots against the Raptors. And I mean, 25 is still a lot of shots, but four other guys had double figures in scoring. And that's kind of where I don't like seeing that, because the Raptors defense is so good. And I think they were just focusing a little bit too much on James Harden, who, by the way, is still a very fantastic passer. So I think maybe being able to guard other guys and not let Eric Gordon have a fantastic game and not let PJ Tucker hit a bunch of threes would have been a little bit more beneficial to the Raptors game, or at least to a Raptors win. But like you said, their defense on James Harden, holding him to, you know, only 35 points is a pretty decent night. Do you think that they should have maybe employed that instead of letting him kind of just, you know, trying to play defense on Harden only?
Yeah, Harden, the focus was definitely on him, and he sort of dictated the pace. And, you know, when you look at the Raptors on paper, right, when you look at that starting five, you would think, okay, this is a legitimate good defensive team. But what I've noticed from the Raptors is that not only has the first quarter for them as of late sort of been sloppy, and they've sort of like taken a while to sort of fall into a groove, whether defensively or offensively. What I've noticed is that they are so hyper-focused on offense that it comes to the detriment of their defensive performance, right? And you can't just have guys like Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard drive the defense. It has to be a full effort, right? And with the focus on Harden, it left other people to sort of exploit the Raptors' defensive woes, especially Kenneth Faried, right? Kenneth Faried sort of came out of nowhere, and I'm kind of kicking myself for not thinking that maybe this would have been a good acquisition for the Raptors. But he sort of exploited the Raptors and sort of took advantage of the situations, right? How many times in that game did you see Harden beat Green to the middle, and Serge would sort of creep up to help Green to guard Harden, and Faried was just left wide open underneath? And as you mentioned, Harden's such a good passer, he would dump off these little low-end bounce passes to Faried, and there'd just be a dunk. Like, I saw that at least on three or four occasions. And to me, I'm just like, there's this defensive lapse in this team that isn't being utilized, and I don't know if it's because they're so focused on the offensive end and trying to play catch-up that they've failed to discover that, hey, defense is something that you can use to your advantage and something that could totally change the pace of this game. So, yeah, I do think it was to their detriment that they were so hyper-focused on Harden that it sort of worked to their disadvantage.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, the cold start, I think they started 0 of 8 from 3 or something in that first quarter, which is kind of on par with how they've been shooting threes. Like, obviously, they're not shooting 0% from 3, but their three-point shooting has been pretty horrendous this season. I think they sit 25th or 21st in the league in terms of three-point percentage while taking the fifth most three-point attempts. Mind you, they have played the most games, so I don't know. That's a bit off topic, but yeah, that's the whole catch-up thing is not a fun way to play, and then they do have to focus on a lot of offense. And so Nick Nurse has also kind of come under fire a little bit after a few late-game decisions, specifically Kawhi Leonard isolations at the end of games. Are you starting to not get upset with Nick Nurse, but are you starting to feel that maybe Nick Nurse isn't the coach that we thought he was going to be?
I don't know if there's this balancing act that is coming from higher ups down to Nick Nurse, right, in terms of how to use Kawhi Leonard, right? And it's sort of this thing that you have to examine and ask yourself, is this something that Nick Nurse is utilizing and actually believing in terms of like heavy usage of Kawhi ISO, especially in clutch situations to close out games? Or is this something that maybe Masai is pushing to sort of, you know, attract Kawhi to the team for next season? Or maybe it's Kawhi saying, I don't trust anybody on this floor because they haven't proven that they can, you know, perform in these situations, right? I have to sort of carry the load on my back. I don't know. But when it comes to Nick Nurse, there are things other than heavy Kawhi ISO that I question, right? Why is Greg Monroe getting all these minutes? What? Why? Like, he's a super liability on this team. And more often than not, I see him like eat the floor because he just somehow finds his way to fall down, like over himself too. It's not like because he's driving to the rim and falling all over defenders. No, he's falling on himself. And he's missing like little chip putbacks. He's not getting rebounds as aggressively as I would like him to. Why is he getting all this time? Why not utilize Chris Boucher to see what you have? Or why is Fred VanVleet, when he's super cold with the starters, why is he getting all this runtime? He's not that great a defender. Why is he out there, right? There's these questions that I seem to come up with during the games. And look, I'm not at all like head coach material here. So I'm just a dude on my couch, you know, playing armchair coach. But at the same time, I'm saying, you know, if I'm seeing this, it's not passing the eye test. A guy as I don't know, smart and intelligent in terms of basketball scheming as Nick Nurse should be seeing this too. So why hasn't there sort of been a remedy to this? That's where I have a gripe with how Nick Nurse has been coaching.
Yeah, I love what you're getting at there with the whole, maybe it's coming down from the higher ups within the organization as a kind of a ploy to keep Kawhi Leonard. But then again, there are those other things that you mentioned. And like you said, Nick Nurse is way too smart to have all these issues, I think, like you said. But I like, obviously he's a young coach and he wants to go out with his best guys. And Van Fleet was proven last year to, well, I mean, evidently he wasn't really proven last year to have that great, but last year he played fantastic in crunch minutes and pretty much all the time. And I don't know what happened with this year, and same with Powell. Powell had a bad year last year, but he loves playing those two guys on the floor at the end of games. And that's the part that I really, really, really don't like. Because if it's a close game, I would rather have Ananobi out there or even DeLon Wright out there with Lowry, even though DeLon Wright has been pretty horrible. I think DeLon Wright's on ball is better than Fred Van Fleet's. I think Lowry can play better off ball of DeLon Wright than Fred Van Fleet. I think Kawhi Leonard is probably a better player in terms of defense with DeLon Wright just based on the length. Because Fred Van Fleet is a pretty short, stumpy little guy. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to get any stops, really, if anyone's going at Van Fleet. Going back to Kawhi Leonard at the end of games, they're all kind of ISO plays, and it's boring style of basketball. And you're right. I don't know if it's Kawhi Leonard going in and saying, I don't trust anyone. But I don't know if that necessarily makes sense to me, because they have proven themselves when it's not Kawhi Leonard taking that last shot. Aside from that Van Fleet almost air ball against Brooklyn, mm-hmm. Siakam has a game winner, Danny Green has two game winners, and the rest are basically Kawhi Leonard misses. And that's kind of where I don't like this.
It's Brick City, right? It's Brick City when it comes to clutch situations with the Raptors, and that's a familiar narrative. And let's not forget, this isn't that dissimilar to how they closed out games last year. Right. It's almost as if you can flip flop Kawhi and DeMar. Absolutely. As to how they're going to scheme it at the end. Although, like, Kawhi obviously is a much better player. I think we can all agree on that. But the recipe is the same. And what I fear about this is maybe this is going to become a situation where it becomes too predictable into the playoffs. Right. Last year, if you recall, like the Cleveland series in the playoffs, Cleveland, even before the series ended, was very outspoken in saying, we know exactly what the Raptors are going to do at the end of the game. It's going to go into the hand of DeRozan, and that's it. That's it. That's what they're going to do, because that's what they do. This is how they close out games. And if this is how they're going to operate into the playoffs, that's what I fear, is that you have a team like Milwaukee who is so, so long. Right. They're just a long team that they're going to be able to shut him down. And then what? Like, when you have these situations where the best player on your team is shut down, much like sort of, I don't want to say definitively, but Harden did a decent job at defending Kawhi with that last shot. And if there's anything close to that in the playoffs, there's going to be these situations where the Raptors are going to be caught with their pants down, because what do you do? Right. Unless, and this is my hope, this is my little conspiracy theory hope, they're saving their chips. Like, they're keeping the bullets in the chamber, and they don't want to sort of show their hand exclusively right now in the regular season, and they're saving something for the postseason. That's the hope right now. But if this is how they're operating, it is extremely, extremely predictable.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they are saving a little bit of extra flair and passing for the postseason stuff. And Nick Nurse has kind of come out and said stuff about the defense, that they haven't really shown all of their defensive matchups and their defensive positioning and all that kind of stuff quite yet. They're waiting till closer to the end of the season, and same with a few of their offensive plays. But I think when Kawhi Leonard does these ISO plays and all that kind of stuff, you kind of get not off-put because of it, but you get a feeling that it's going to work, because usually when these games are close, it's generally Kawhi Leonard has brought the team back into within X amount of points, 2 points, a tie game, whatever it might be. And that's pretty much exactly what happened with this Houston game. It happened with Brooklyn. It happened with Denver, with the Pacers. And you can name off a few more games, I'm sure. So Kawhi Leonard pretty much dominates the last quarter, 8 minutes, 6 minutes, whatever it is that he plays really well for. So giving him that ball doesn't seem like the worst decision until it happens. And that's what I feel about it, because he does have those fantastic quarters and that fantastic amount of time where he plays as good as just about anybody in the league. And then it comes down to that last play and he's kicking the ball into the fourth row of,
yeah. Yeah. It's more that you have these players that are proven that can do it. As you mentioned, like a Pascal Siakam, although even though that was an ISO play in and of itself, and a Danny Green, right? They've proven they can do it. It just baffles me that you have these clutch situations that Kawhi has not been successful at nailing down with the Raptors. Why not just try something new? Why not just give the ball to the hands of someone a little bit more reliable, like Danny Green or a Pascal Siakam? Or if you're going to go at the hands of Kawhi Leonard, why go for the win? Like, I know this is exclusively for Houston, but just go for the tie and worry about overtime, right? Because he was unstoppable driving to the rim. And if even if you draw a foul and you do have a little bit of time left on the clock for Houston to seal the win, at least you did what you think would work. Like, there is no situations that I would think that Kawhi would drain a 3-point shot to kill the game. Like, that just does not sound right to me. It seems more likely that a mid-range jumper for him, or a drive to the rim and drawing a foul and nailing two free throws, that sounds like something that I can get down with. But this going for the win at the three with a 3-pointer to kill the game against Houston, it just doesn't sound right to me.
Agreed. And I think you said it perfectly. It's predictable, which is, I think that's kind of what's most annoying, because teams just know how to play defense against them. So we mentioned Siakam. We mentioned Lowry a little bit earlier in this podcast. And we have our all-star starters right now. Kawhi Leonard is an all-star starter for the East. And I don't think it would be right if the Raptors only had one guy going in. And I don't think that they will. The names that have been brought up are Kyle Lowry, Pascal Siakam. So quickly, who out of those two do you think is more deserving to be an all-star reserve?
Gotta go with Pascal. I mean, I think the injury that Kyle had suffered and probably still is experiencing is working to the detriment of him with his all-star nod. And I think a guy like Pascal Siakam, who is above and beyond the MIP of the league right now, it's really hard for me to find a situation in which he's not an all-star, right? Like, right now he's averaging, what, 56% from the field? That's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous for a guy to not get an all-star nod. He's at, what, 15 points I'm looking at right now for his stat per game right now. That's crazy. And he's so good for this team. He's so reliable and such a presence for this team that it's difficult for me to envision him not becoming an all-star. And it wouldn't surprise me if Kyle wasn't, as I mentioned, because of the injury, because of the downtime that he experienced. He didn't really have time to build up the stat sheet to make a case for him. So it would surprise me more if Kyle got the nod and Pascal was excluded than the opposite.
I am actually kind of shocked that you said that. I totally agree with you. But from what I've gathered, most people are saying that Kyle Lowry is more deserving of the All-Star just based on the effect that he has on the Raptors offense. The numbers when he's playing and when he's not playing is kind of in itself All-Star material. But like you said, Pascal Siakam is shooting better in just about every single category. And when I say just about, I do mean every single category. He is shooting better. All of his numbers are up. He shoots better with less field goals. You mentioned he has more points. His win shares are higher, both offensively and defensively. His usage is roughly the same. His value over replacement, he is more. Like, I don't get where the people, like, I do get where the people are seeing Kyle Lowry as an all-star just because of the offensive numbers for the Raptors, but generally, the All-Star game is based on singular talent, mm-hmm. right? Or like that's what you should kind of base it off of, not team play. And Pascal Siakam is basically the definition of singular talent. This guy is one of the fastest players in the league, the softest touch I think that I've ever seen from a guy his size. And his spin move is maybe one of the best moves in the game this year, at least. I'm shocked that you said the same thing, but I'm happy that you did, because I like hearing that Pascal Siakam is an all-star.
Yeah, I mean, like, in the abstract, I see why people would think Kyle Lowry is more deserving of it, because he's been there so many times before. And you're right. And like, on paper, I think that Kyle Lowry, even like on the floor, Kyle Lowry is the most important player for the Raptors. Like that, I fully believe that. I think that Kawhi is the best player on the Raptors. But in order to have sustained success this year, Kyle Lowry needs to be right. So that's, in my opinion, what makes him the most important player. However, that does not mean that he's automatically deserving of an all-star nod. Like right now, because of the injury, he doesn't have all-star statistics that I think back that up. And if you look at what Siakam has done for this team, there has been more times that I can think of that Pascal is coming in the clutch than Kyle Lowry has, or Pascal has done something that sort of jumps off the page than Kyle Lowry has. So for this year, I think it's more deserving for Pascal to be there than Kyle. And that's not a knock on Kyle. It's just more of, hey man, you were hurt. You didn't have time to sort of build yourself up. Maybe this break during the All-Star weekend would do you well. Like maybe like take a negative and turn it into a positive right there. The rest time would do him well. So sort of just like take this one back, give Pascal the nod.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I could not have said it better myself. So I think that's all for the podcast today. Adam, once again, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at South of the Six. I usually tweet a lot during Raptors games. So if you want a bunch of GIFs flying your way, just follow me on South of the Six. I have a podcast. You can find that on any podcast platform that you guys use. I just released one this morning, so it's hot on the airwaves. Talking a lot about the topics that we talked about today. So South of the Six podcast, you can visit the website, southofthesix.com. All the Raptors news that you want is there. Also during baseball season, we do Blue Jay stuff as well. So, I really appreciate you having me, man. This was fun. Thank you.
Of course. This was amazing. Everybody go check out Adam's stuff. It is awesome.